Oh, thanks, Margo. I forget about that sometimes. I see a few people I have not seen in a while. Welcome back. Just about 10 o'clock. We'll give everybody a little bit of a couple of people I don't see yet, who are fairly regular. There we go. PJ and Larry waiting for you guys to show up. Good morning, everybody.
Morning. Good
Let's
morning.
take a oops. If you wouldn't mind muting yourself, just so we cut down on extraneous noise coming through. And then when you need to say something or comment, please do. Just press the button. Okay. Get a sense of our connection with one another. All these beings who are joined together to raise the consciousness, not only of planet Earth, but of the universe. And sometimes that's hard to get in touch with when we think about all the stuff that's going on in this material world. And yet, as Margot reminds me so often, the light has never gone out. Not only that, but each one of us consciously and unconsciously has volunteered to be keepers of the flame. Keep it alive. Do not give hatred, fear, violence, blame, shame, and guilt. Do not give it energy. But to give our energy, our well-being, our prayerfulness, our centeredness to the energy of love, passion, creation. No matter what it seems to look like on the outside. As I am reminded so often in our work in metaphysical truth, if I'm seeing it out there, it's happening in here. So that's where my responsibility begins. Taking care of the healing that my soul, my spirit, my being is asking for. And knowing that contributes to the healing of the world. And so we begin. Does anybody have anything left over from last week? I do want to mention something we ran into that we run into periodically. And that is attempting to reach higher realms of consciousness through lower realms of consciousness. In other words, trying to understand something that is created by my higher mind, trying to understand that with my lower consciousness. And that's a terribly, terribly frustrating thing because it doesn't work. That's why the Course in Miracles begins with stating such things as, I don't know what anything means. It means letting go of what you're attached, letting go of your thinking mind, letting go, this is one of my interpretations of that is, letting go of your thinking mind, letting go of your intellect that's trying to explain things, and know that the truth will be revealed to you through your higher consciousness, not by striving, not by pushing, not by memorizing, not by going to this workshop or buying that book or doing this or doing that, but by your openness and your surrender to being open to the truth of who you are. And what will be revealed to you is only what you can use at this particular moment. I think it was Peace Pilgrim said something to the effect of, when you live up to the light that you have, more light will be given to you. So instead of the small stuff, I want it all now, which is the small self or the limited self grasping for something, of knowing that you don't have to do that. You can see the truth. The truth. It's like kind of like Buddha said. This is attributed to Buddha, but I don't think he said it. I think one of his disciples did, but it doesn't matter. It's pretty much the same thing. Don't believe anything I tell you. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. Only believe what resonates in your heart. Period. 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 Now, you might find out a day later that what you didn't believe yesterday, you start believing in that. That's perfectly fine. But in this moment, don't believe anything anybody tells you. Allow yourself to be open to the truth that is available to you and allow that to lead you and teach you. There's no force there, no pushing, no making something happen. As we've said in these books, have stated so many times, what you seek is already here. What you seek is already here. Some on the bottom of page 220, just to kind of tie things together from last week. We need you to understand that the infinite self, the higher consciousness, Christ consciousness, higher self, whatever words you want to call that, that the infinite self that you are is always in progression. It's not static. It's not standing still. There, in other words, one of the ways I look at that, and it's just one of the ways, is that my capacity for giving and receiving unconditional love is continually expanding. You don't get there. You are there. It's paradoxical. You are at a point right now where you are at the highest level of your consciousness. And a minute from now, you will be at a higher level of your consciousness, one that was not available to you in this moment. I mean, you can probably notice that if you look at yourself today and then think about yourself 6 months ago, a year ago. Now, your little self might say, oh, you're better, you know, oh, well, nothing's changed. You're still the same old blop, 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 blop you always were. But on another level of consciousness, we know, you know, I know, we have grown. How we have grown? Measuring that with a yardstick? No. But knowing the truth of that is the reality. You wouldn't be back here every Sunday morning unless you've grown. That's kind of an interesting phenomenon, okay? So, well, I'm showing up again on Sunday morning because I need this or I need that or because of this, because of that. That's fine. When your higher self would not have led you back here unless there was something here more for you than was here. You were able to take it in a little bit better this week than you were last week. It's like reading a book that you've read before. Let's say a spiritual book that you've read before. And you read this sentence of this paragraph and you go, I don't remember that being there. Well, obviously somebody didn't exchange that book for another one. Same book you had on your shelf before. The difference is you now, even though you might not be terribly conscious of this, you now have life experience, which allows that sentence or that paragraph to speak to you in a different way than it spoke to you before. Happens all the time. As you reach the top of the mountain, as you welcome the fine air, as you witness the gifts that may be known at this level of collusion and collaboration with the divine self and the infinite, you will also notice there is another mountain just down the way. And as we teach you through this trilogy of texts, there may be more than one mountain for you to know. So there are plateaus in the spiritual path. There are places where we get to where my spirit says, let's rest here for a while. I've taken in as much as I can. I need to kind of chew on that. I need to digest it. I need to work with it. I need to let it sink in before I move on to the next one. It's not that something's finished so much. It's that I grok it. It's become part of my being. Grok is a word that was invented by the science fiction author Robert Heinlein. It means to know something so deeply it becomes a part of you. So you, in other words, you don't know you are loved, you grok you are loved. You get that to the guts, you get that in every cell and fiber of your being. The gift of the mountain you are climbing now is the Christ itself and her awareness in love. That is a great gift. The mastery of that level of awareness is deeply significant. As you know yourself in this alignment, you know your world through it. You know your world through it. I begin to realize what I said a couple of minutes ago, that when I see it happening out there, happening in here. What's happening in here is anger, fear, violence, hatred, as well as the joy and the creation. If I'm seeing it out there, it's happening in here. So this is the first place I go to for my healing process. And that allows me to see the world in a different way. So I might, let's suppose I might still see chaos or difficulty. Or I might see a person I can't stand. Not that that would ever happen to you. But then I begin to realize that this person that I can't stand is also a child who's in pain. And I go, oh, I still can't stand you. But I have a little bit more of a perspective of where to put you in. And I can have a little, just a little open door of compassion towards you rather than hatred and rather than getting even or revenge or judgment. Because my outrage and my judgment aren't getting me any place except more outrage and more judgment. Sometimes that's tough for me to realize. Paul is saying, don't tease us, please. Don't lead us to the top of the mountain where there is nothing there. Now get this one. There is nothing there in the physical realm. You have lifted to the higher vibration in expression, in experience. So if you expect a box of chocolates at the very top of the mountain as your reward, you would be limiting yourself vastly from what can be and may be known by you as the new self that you incarnate as. Let go of what you think the prize should be and let the prize develop for itself. You're being guided, you're being loved by a consciousness that's higher than your small self. We incarnate as a new self. In fact, you do. The small self, if you wish, in her alignment, has not reached the top in the way she thought you would. I mentioned this to our Tuesday group. This is one of my favorite quotations from a Buddhist teacher. Enlightenment is the ego's biggest disappointment. Because the ego thinks that once I become enlightened, whatever that means to the ego, is that I'm just gonna know. I'm gonna hang on the ethers with Buddha and Christ, and everything's gonna be rosy and wonderful and nice and charming. And well, you can believe that if you want to, but what you're doing is you're cutting yourself off from your experience of the truth in this moment. In other words, what I think, it's not what I think it is. Let go of what you think it should be and allow it to be what it is. I like that. I'm going to write that down. Okay. Let go of what you think it ought to be and allow it to be what it is already inside of yourself. We incarnate as a new self. In fact, you do. The small self, if you wish, in her alignment, has not reached the top in the way that she thought she would. She has counted those aspects of self, the fear she has known herself as and through, the false idol she has worshipped, the memories that were born in distortion. She has witnessed these things, acknowledged them, and ascended beyond their purview. In other words, I'm not stuck. Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. I'm not using the past to define myself in this moment. When you ascend beyond the purview of something, that simply means you are no longer in alignment to it. It has no real effect unless you decide to crawl back down the mountain and exist at the level of vibration that was calling to you in the past. I must admit, there are times when I fall back, or seemingly fall back, excuse me, into old habits, into old ways of knowing, even though I know better. That's when we are called upon not to beat ourselves up for being dumb or stupid or silly or whatever, but to recognize that, okay, I've gotten a little bit lost in an old belief system. I can beat myself up for falling back into an old belief, or I can be glad and rejoice and open myself to a truth of saying, I'm glad I have the ability today to be able to change that, turn that around, to make that different. I'd just like you to close your eyes and listen to this. Take this in. This is one of the prayers that the guides offer us. On this day, I choose to encounter myself as my divine self. In the face of any challenges I may meet. On this day, I choose to align to the truth in all circumstance. I have no need to defend or to decide for another who I am, what I am, or how I serve. My truth will carry me through the situations I find myself in on this new landscape up the mountain. My truth will carry me through the situations I find myself in on this new landscape up the mountain. As I know these words to be so, I claim my own victory. I am free, I am free, I am free. I am free of the dragon in the cave, of the thing I have feared, of the thing I have chosen to know myself through. As I realign my vibration to victory, I ascend the mountain again. My hands are open to receive, and my eyes are open to welcome the new. The ascension has begun, my friends, and this will be the end of this chapter. We are grateful for your presence, and we will teach you again tomorrow. Stop now, please. Actually, it's already tomorrow, so we're going to continue. And I was visiting the Florida Keys a number of years ago. There's a sign painted on a wall outside of a bar. It said, free beer tomorrow. Get it? Of course, it got my attention right away. Free beer tomorrow. Free enlightenment tomorrow. Next chapter, unless anybody wants to add to that one or question or look at it a little bit more fully, hopefully it makes sense. Okay. Being in truth, day 14. Now we ask you questions, each and every one of you. When you come to these classes, you expect to be seen? And if you do, how do you expect to be seen? Oh, I'm a spiritual seeker. I come to Jerry's class every Sunday morning. I'm a seeker of enlightenment. Or it could be, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. How about you? Sometimes Sunday mornings, that's what I ask. I'm really not sure what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. Do I have to know what I'm doing here to be part of this thing? Do I have to define something? Or do I just have to go with the flow? I'm a good student. It deserves to be pat on the back for the work. Aren't I a good boy? Aren't I a good girl? See, I'm coming to class every Sunday morning. Where's the box of chocolates? I'm a skeptic. I came here to punch holes in Jerry's arguments. I am the one who will know. It's all in the future, not here yet. I don't know yet. You call to yourselves every engagement you have, and that includes the ones you don't like. You precipitate them by your own intention to be perceived. How would I like to be seen? Now I could take that in person and say, well, I'd like you to look at me or see me as a teacher. But that's not true. That's just kind of my ego getting in the way. I'd like you to see me as a fellow traveler that you just allowed me to listen to my own voice. Ram Dass described himself as being a rent-a-mouth. He said, I just show up and you rent my mouth and the spirit speaks through me. What it's going to say, how it's going to say it, when it's going to say it, I don't know. I don't pre-program that. One of the beautiful things about this is I don't pre-program the class that we're going to be doing. I don't read over the next couple of pages what's going to happen next. I don't know. But I do know we are all fellow travelers. As he said so wonderfully, we're all walking one another home. Now, the truth of who you are does not require this, does not require a definition, because it's already there. The truth of who you are requires no definition. The Christ as you, or the divine self if you wish, has no need to be perceived in any way whatsoever. It means nothing to the old definitions. They're meaningless. So when you have an issue of how you are perceived and treated, we would say, in many ways, you are claiming that through the personality or the egoic self. As a wise person once said, what you think about me is none of my business. You're entitled to think anything you want. And I can choose to be affected by that or not.
Jerry?
Yeah.
I have something connected with me there, and I'm backtracking just a slight bit, but I love this one thing that was said in this book. It was in our last chapter, but it kind of coincides. When someone's behavior is not what you would like it to be, because I think of this when I'm dealing with some people that are more difficult or trying for me, they become an example for you, perhaps, of what you do not require, but in fact, all they are doing is expressing at the level of consciousness that they can attend to. And that kind of helps me to come back to really, at that moment, realizing the different levels we are all at in consciousness. And I hopefully can work on becoming less critical and more patient.
Thank you for that.
Thank
I wonder
you.
What it would be like if I truly believed that Donald Trump is doing the best he can do.
Yes. Let's work on this.
Sorry. It's too late. Do you know how to eat an elephant? Do you know how to eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time. Sorry, Donald. I'm just using you as a model. It has nothing to do with who you truly are. It's just the disguise you're wearing. I wonder. Now, the transmission, thank you for that, Paula. It always makes me think. The other piece to that,
yes,
that comes up periodically is that the shadow side that Carl Jung called the shadow, all of those hidden things inside of us, that somebody in Al-Anon translated for me very, very simply. She said, if you spot it, you got it. I don't like that. But if you see it out there, it's happening in here. And so that allows me to, Paula, to be a little bit more compassionate and a little bit more understanding and saying, those things that I can't stand within you are also some things that I can't stand within myself, perhaps to a much lesser degree, but still things that I have a problem with inside myself.
It takes real courage to do that.
Boy, does it ever. It takes real courage to face
your
shadow. Yeah.
It is. It does.
I don't want to go there.
Face what?
Face your shadow.
Oh, right.
But see, the other, and this is a little bit of an extraneous piece, the shadow also has all of these wonderful gifts that we have denied ourselves. It's not just the bad stuff that we don't want to look at. All of the creativity, self-esteem, joyfulness, all of those things that I haven't let myself experience because maybe I'm not enough. Maybe I don't think I deserve them. Whatever it happens to be, that gets stuffed in the shadow bag too. So inside of there are some things that might be really, really difficult for me to look at on the negative side of things. But there are also some very, very positive gifts that are shoved in there too, that I don't look at or have not looked at or have not accepted about myself, that were also asked on the journal. So if you don't want to focus on the negative things in your shadow, how about focusing on the positive things? How worthy am I of unconditional love every moment, no matter how I feel? How can I be open to the truth that I am unconditionally loved completely, fully, totally? How can I allow myself to be totally surrounded and absorbed into the light? In unity, we end our service with this prayer of protection. And the last one says, you know, the presence of God is all, I am divine. And now I know that's true, but as soon as I say that, I go, really? Because I can't, I don't have the ability yet to take that all in. There's something that getting in the way, I am divine. Well, I know that. Do I believe it? I'm working on it. One bite.
Yeah, Jared. What Paula was talking about, there's a big difference between the energy of I can't stand this about this person and I don't care for the behavior, but I don't know, it's their stuff. Kind of saying the same thing, but the energy associated with it. Like if I can't stand this about a person, there's definitely something in me that's resistant to that. Yeah.
Well, I think that, Greg, I think that the way I would translate that in metaphysical language is that my ego structure and my personality can't stand your ego and your personality. So it's coming from a state of lower consciousness. But there's also that layer that you mentioned too, which I think is tremendously important. A friend of mine used to say this, is that there are some behaviors that are unacceptable. And it's okay for me to say that out loud. It's okay for me to think that. I'm not judging you about that. I'm just saying that's not something that works for me. And it's not something that if somebody is being abusive to me, for instance, I don't need to stay there. Now, if I was really, really, really the Buddha consciousness, I might be able to stay in the midst of that, and all of those would be like cotton ball arrows that just sort of bounce off me, you know, but I'm not in that particular place yet either.
Yeah. How to disagree with the behavior without demonizing the person.
Yeah.
Eckhart probably talks about that a lot, and it's sometimes challenging, but
yeah,
working on it.
Yep. We all. Let's see. We're all on page 224. I think I am, yeah. Let's see, what time is it? I'm gonna have to end in about 10 minutes or so because I'm gotta get set up in the other part of the church. But anyway, now the transmission we give you, although it is filtered through Paul, is not his personality. We acquiesce to his needs and his questions as they come, because we work in tandem with his field, and because his questions in many ways are yours as well. But we are not a product of the ego self. In fact, in many ways, we work well beyond it. But also acknowledge it as necessary because you're all here in a body and need these things to support yourselves at one level or another. Yes, you do need them, but not in the way you think. You need them not in a way to be attached. That's just a beautiful, beautiful paragraph about inner knowing. You do need them as part of your chosen vehicle on planet Earth, but you don't need them to identify with who you are. You do need them, but not in the way you think. You need them as a way of, as part of your chosen vehicle on planet Earth, but you don't need them as a way of defining yourself. You rely on the ego right now to tell you who you are. I am the one who is important, who is hurt, who is justified in his anger. There is never a time that any of those claims is made by the divine self, never one. And when you have those claims, you are operating from the small self, because she is the one throwing the tantrum, demanding retribution, seeking fame, seeking truth through how she is perceived by her fellow man, and that is not where truth lives. Truth does not live in lower consciousness. Can't. It's too big. The truth of who you are always and always is through the divine expressed as you. And the Christ as you, or the manifestation of the divine as you, which we call the Christ, is here to be known in truth. We are teaching truth tonight, yes, for the reason and that that's what you need. You must understand, each of you, that as you align to the truth, you do not align to deception, the deception of the self or the deception from others. The truth of who you are in many ways becomes the light that shines upon the darkness, and the lies you would know that you would tell the self, tell another, or that would be told you will be illumined and perceived for what they are. As you go into an agreement with the I am presence, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, you are claiming freedom from the false self who deals in lies and illusions. Suppose we take a few minutes to do our meditation. You can get comfortable, close your eyes if you like. That's some heavy duty stuff this morning. On one level, it was saying the same thing that we've already heard. That's kind of the small self-talk. Well, I've heard all this before. On a deeper level of consciousness, it's a knowing that goes deeper than what the small self can comprehend. We get a little bit of a hint, a little bit of an inkling of what it would be like to be led by the higher consciousness. Not just in moments of crisis, but every moment. And so we begin this morning meditation by opening ourselves, tuning into the rhythm of your breathing, pulsing of your heartbeat. Underneath all of the anger, the fear, the shadow, the judgment, thinking, emotions, there is a knowing within each one of us that knows the truth of who you are. And because you know the truth of who you are, you know the truth of all other beings as well. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. And I am grateful. I am open to learning the lessons that I've created for myself in this pathway on planet Earth. I know that I have the strength and the wisdom, the power and the willingness to grow, to heal, not only myself, but others in the world that I live in. I even embrace those things that seem to get in my way, because they are too just lessons to be learned. In me is the light, the reflection of the words that Jesus spoke. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even when I fall into forgetfulness, the way, the truth, and the life are still here. I dedicate this day, or this moment of this day, I dedicate it to being, to experiencing the truth of who I am. And I allow you to be the truth of who you are. If I find myself closed off or shut down for whatever reason, I remind myself to breathe into my being. To open myself up to the light and truth that I am. I even take some time today just simply to rest in that truth. There's no place to go. There's nothing to hide. I rest in the truth of my divine self, my higher consciousness, and I allow myself to be led by love, by peace, by joy. Coming back again to your awareness with the movement of your breath, pulsing of your heartbeat. Stretch a bit. Before you open your eyes, remind yourself of the message we have spoken of so often. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. And stretch, open your eyes when you're ready. Anything else anybody wants to add before we close this morning?
Jerry?
Yes.
I just want to let you know that I think this is a very powerful class today. But there's something that really touched me. Like you said, it was very deep. And it also reminded me of this. This weekend, I had this very... It kind of a surreal experience. I had walked out of the supermarket and all of a sudden just feeling, seeing everybody in the cars and people walking, doing this stuff. All I could see, felt was all these thoughts running around in form. And it was felt so extraordinary for a moment, like, these are thoughts who have created a form moving along in the world like me. But it kind of just felt different when I've said that, kind of, because I feel, you know, we are thoughts. But it felt so, it put me in a different kind of state with people. And also realized I was very aware when all of a sudden I came out of that feeling of just kind of that feeling.
Okay.
And felt a little more judgmental.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for a great class, Jerry.
One thing I would alter in your description of that is, instead of a feeling, talking about it as being a feeling, I would talk about it as an experience.
Okay. Yeah.
Because yes. it really goes beyond emotion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And thank you all for being here. Hope you have a great rest of the day, rest of the week, and Super Sunday.
Super Sunday.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Love you all.
Thanks, Jerry. Great
You're
class.
Welcome.
Thanks, Gary.